Khalil, this is for you. They sent for Jesus, your friend's about to die, but tarried he still far behind. So they laid Lazarus in the tomb and said their last goodbye, and coming down the road was Jesus right on time. Just hold on, my child, because he's not that far away, and he knows your need before you pray. So when your feet are weary from the mountain you have climbed, just hold on, here comes Jesus right on time. I wandered through the desert. It was so hot and dry, till it seemed all hope was gone and I would die. And I wondered, where was he? Was he still a friend of mine? And coming down the road was Jesus right on time. Just hold on, my child, because he's not that far away, and he knows your need before you pray. So when your feet are weary from the mountain you have climbed, look ahead, here comes Jesus right on time.
Amen. Appreciate the songs today. The psalmist declared that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God will always be there waiting for our cries. I want to ask you to pray for the message today. Does anyone else have anything on your heart? If not, I want to share some scripture from the third chapter of Genesis. And I do ask for your prayers today. I don't want you to pray, and when I ask for your prayers, I don't ask you to pray for my personal benefit. I want you to pray that the Lord would be honored today, that he would be glorified, and that the things that would be said would please him and would help us. And in Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, it tells us, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And I will stop my reading there with Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. I want to use this for a title for my message this morning, and that being the voice of the Lord God. And I hope that we all hear it today. I want you to think with me about the voice of the Lord God. And I'm going to do something a little bit unusual, but I just haven't been able to get away from this. I'm going to start with somewhat of a funny story. And I'm not doing this to make anybody laugh. You may find this funny. I know I did when I heard it. But I actually have a point that I want to make in this as we consider the voice of the Lord. Those of you who may have, through the years, may have listened to Jerry Clower, you may have heard a story that he used to tell called The Lying Ledbetter. And this was a story about a farm family called, their last name was Ledbetter. And they had a son that had a horrible habit of lying. And his dad was very grieved over it and was trying to break his son from this habit of telling lies and just couldn't seem to get through to him. Well, there were some people that lived on an adjoining farm, and they had a collie dog. And for some reason, they had taken that collie dog and they had shaved all of its hair off except for around its neck and left like a mane. And so one night at the house, this boy came running in, and he had looked out in the yard and he had seen that collie dog. And he come running in to his dad and he said, Daddy, I saw a lion in the front yard. And his dad got angry and he said, Son, I have told you about telling lies. And here you're still doing it. He said, Daddy, I'm not lying. I saw a lion in our front yard. And his dad said, Son, I want you to go down to the barn and I want you to repent of this lying habit. I want you to go down there and I want you to ask God for forgiveness, and I don't want you to come back until you've got it. So he went down there to the barn and he was gone for about an hour. And he came back and he said, Daddy, while I was in the barn, God spoke to me. And his dad said, Oh, son, you really crossed the line now. Whatever you do, don't tell lies about God. And he said, Daddy, I'm not lying. He said, God spoke to me down there in the barn. And his dad said, Well, son, if he did, I want to know what he told you. And he said, Daddy, God told me that the first time he saw that collie dog, he thought it was a lion. And I truly wanted to make a point out of that. There are many people today, I'm afraid, that believe that they are hearing the voice of God, and they're not. And the point that I wanted to make is that if that were true, and that's just the story, but if that were true, we would know that God really didn't speak to him down in that barn, did he? Because God would know the difference between that dog and a lion. God owns the beast of the field. And God would not have been fooled. As to if that were a true account, God would not have been fooled as to whether or not that was a shaved dog or a lion. And there are so many people today that believe, I'm afraid, that they have heard the voice of God when they haven't heard it at all. And the Lord is not going to speak things to you and I that contradict His word. It's just not going to happen. There have been religions that have been built on the premise that God spoke to a man or perhaps to a group of individuals. And there are religious societies today that are based and built upon that foundation that God came and spoke to someone and gave them a revelation, and the things that they claim that God said to them contradict the word of God. And I'm telling you that they did not hear the voice of my master. And so, you know, the Bible tells us to try the spirits, because I believe in the spiritual realm that there is more than one voice. And we find in these scriptures that were read that the devil was also doing some speaking. But I want to talk today about the voice of the Lord. When I was this week, when I was driving to Indiana on Thursday afternoon, I got a huge blessing from the Lord. And for some reason, that happens to me oftentimes when I'm out in a car somewhere by myself. And I had taken out a cassette tape of the White Stone Quartet, and I put that tape in, and they were singing a song entitled "The Voice of the Master." And in that song, in the chorus, they were saying, "Can you hear it? The voice of the Master." And I was listening to that cassette driving north on 65, and God began to bless my soul. And I confess to you that I began to weep, and I began to rejoice, and the Lord spoke out to me. Now, and He gave me this message. Now, I want to say this, that the Bible teaches me that there are things all around us that declare the existence of the Lord. The mountains declare the existence of the Lord. Brother Durant was telling me this morning about some place that he had traveled this week that was, the scenery was very beautiful. And when we see those things, they speak to us and declare the existence of Almighty God. The invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen by the things that He has made. And so we have no reason to deny the existence of a supreme God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork, David said. But you know, despite those things, there is something that God has done in my life that has made Him very real to me. Even more so than being able to see His deity and His existence and His power through the things that have been made, there's something that God has done that has made Him more real to me in my life than what those things have. And that is that I have heard the voice of the Lord. I've heard the Lord when He spoke to me. And I know that there are many here today that can testify to the same thing of having heard the voice of the Lord God. The Bible said there that they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day as He called out to them. They heard His voice. And I was talking with a preacher friend of mine, and I asked him, I said, if I were to ask you what it is that makes the voice of God so distinguishable and so distinct, I said, would you be able to give me an answer? And he said, no. And I said, well, neither would I. I don't know how to answer that. I don't know what it is that makes the voice of God so clear and so easy at times to distinguish, and what makes it so distinct from anything else, but I do know that it is. I do know that somehow when God speaks, that He can make His voice very distinct and very clear. And I'm thankful that God can and does speak to the human race. And when He speaks, you know that God is speaking to you. I've heard the voice of the Lord. I want us to look at some examples in the Scriptures at different times that God spoke out to humans. Well, the examples won't even all be human, but most of them will be. And you may have known somebody in your life that thought that they were just too good to talk to you. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. There are some uppity people that live in the world. I've known people in my life that just felt like they were above me, and that, you know, maybe they held a high position. I've worked around people that held a high position in a company or something, and they would walk by me and just turn their nose up at me and just act like they were just above me. I didn't worry too much about it. I knew they weren't. There's none of us that are good. None of us. The only thing good about us is what God does for us. But there are people that, you know, in the world that just believe that they're too good to speak to or socialize to somebody else. And again, that's not true. But I'll tell you what I believe is true. I believe God is too good. I believe He's too good for us. But yet He is willing to speak to us. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, God is high and lofty. God is exalted above everything that's made. The Bible tells me that God sits upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants are as grasshoppers in His sight. God is way elevated above you and I, but yet He's willing to command His voice and speak to human beings. And I'm thankful in my life that I have heard the voice of God. When God began to speak to my heart in the years of my youth, when God spoke to my heart and knew and told me that I was lost, I knew that God had spoken to me. I knew that it was God that had troubled my soul. I knew that it was God that had convicted me of sin. I can't explain to you how I knew that, but I knew it. There's something clear and precise about the voice of the Lord. Jesus said in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, in verse 27, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." Friends, I'll tell you what, if we get to the point where we, our spiritual ears are plugged up to where we don't hear the voice of God, we better do some praying, because it's dangerous for us to do anything without hearing from the Lord. But Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, I read in the scriptures, and listen, God can speak to us in many different ways. God has spoken to me at times in one way. God has spoken to me at times in another way. God can speak to us through many different sources or many different mediums. I remember reading in the third chapter of Exodus about a man named Moses that was on the backside of the desert, and he saw a great sight. The Bible says that he saw a bush that was burning, but yet it was not consumed. And he said, "I will turn aside and I'll see this great sight." And the Bible says that as he turned aside, the Lord spoke to him out of the bush. And you'll notice in that scripture there in Exodus chapter 3, that when God spoke to him, when he heard the voice of the Lord, that God called him by his proper name. You know what? God knows your name. And I'm talking about your earthly name. I know that the Bible says when we've been saved, that we've been given a new name. Our names have been written down in heaven. I don't know what that name is. I don't know what it's like, if it's the same as the one we have here or what. I really don't know. But I do know this, that God knows every one of us here today by our first name. And he called out and he spoke to Moses out of the bush. The Lord spoke to Moses out of the bush, and he said, "Moses, Moses." He called him by his name. And he said, "Take your shoes off." I'm not going to quote it exactly. I'm just going to tell you what he said. He said, "Take off your shoes, because the place where you're standing is holy ground." Boy, I'll tell you what, when God starts speaking to you, friends, you're on holy ground. When you're in the presence of the Lord and God is speaking to you, you're on holy ground when you're in His presence. There was nothing special about the dirt there, the soil there, or the rock or whatever it was on that mountain there that Moses was standing on. There was nothing more unique about that than any place else on earth, but he was on holy ground because he was in the presence of God and the voice of the Lord was speaking to him. And he told him what it was that he wanted him to do. God once got the attention of a man named Balaam, and I've always found this intriguing. God spoke out of a bush there when he spoke to Moses. He once got the attention of a man named Balaam by speaking to him through his donkey. I mean, you you think that wouldn't wake you up? You're riding your donkey and you know what? I mean, Balaam obviously was having some problems with his spiritual vision, because the donkey was the one that saw the angel of the Lord there, and he turned into a field, and Balaam smote his donkey there, and then the donkey ran him into a wall and messed up his foot, and he was beating that poor donkey because of that. And God spoke to Balaam. God, the Bible says that the Lord opened the mouth of the ass there and it spoke to Balaam. And basically he said, "Why are you beating on me? Am I not just your donkey? that you've ridden around all this time? Let me tell you something. And I think you already know this. Perhaps I should say, let me remind you of it. God can get our attention. God has used several different things in my life. Now, granted, I confess to you today that God has never spoken to me out of a burning bush. God has never spoken to me through the mouth of a donkey. He never has. If he has, I didn't hear it. I was spiritually deaf and I didn't hear it if he has. As far as I know, God has never done that. But there have been many ways, you know, through many different sources that the Lord has spoken to me and got my attention about things that he wanted to tell me. You know, the voice of God, there are some things about his voice that you just can't say about anybody else. My voice, some people say, well, Brother Miller, you have a loud voice. And I guess maybe it is somewhat loud. I've heard some that are a lot louder. But they say, you have a loud, well, my wife just says I have a big mouth. But they say, you have a loud voice. Well, you know, listen, our voices may vary. Some of us may speak loudly. Some of us may speak softly. Our voices may vary in their pitch and in their tone. But you know what? There's something that my voice is lacking, and there's something that your voice is lacking, and there's something that the voice of the Lord has that our voices don't have, and that is authority. The Lord speaks with great authority. I have a dog, and sometimes I speak to that dog and he won't do a thing I say. I mean, sometimes I'll let him out and he'll be playing and he'll get things in his mind that maybe he wants to chase a bird or something, and I'll be calling him, I'll be saying, come on dog, get back in your kennel there, and sometimes he'll go and sometimes he won't. You know why? My voice lacks authority. Sometimes I speak, to my wife, and I'm not making fun of her or anything, and she knows I'm not. Sometimes I speak to my wife, and she puts me on ignore. And I think she don't even hear me. If she's reading or distracted with something else, and I'll say, honey, did you hear me? Well, I knew you were saying something, but our voices, they lack. But you know what? God speaks, friends, he speaks with regal authority. You know, a couple of days ago, actually it was the day that I was driving up to Indiana, the wind just got horrible. I mean, when I got there on the south side of Indianapolis, I thought maybe there was going to be tornadoes. I mean, the wind was whipping across the interstate there and it was rocking my truck, and the skies were black, and it began to rain real hard, and they had severe thunderstorm warnings and all this stuff out. I mean, the wind was really up and really boisterous, and they were saying that there was 50, 60 mile an hour wind gust, and you know, when you think about the wind, I mean, who could reason with the wind? There's no way that I could have spoken to that wind and said, you know, you're rocking my truck here. Why don't you calm down a little bit? Who in the world could reason with the wind? But you know what I read in the scriptures? I read one time that Jesus was out on a boat with his disciples, and the wind came up, and it began to rock the boat, and they began to become afraid. And the Lord was sleeping in the back part of the boat. And they went to him and they woke him and they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we're about to die here? And he rebuked them for their lack of faith. He said, oh, ye of little faith. And the Lord stood there and he spoke out to the wind, tell me that the voice of God doesn't have power in it and authority in it. He spoke out to the wind and he said, peace, be still. And the wind just ceased. And the Bible says there was a great calm. Let me tell you something. The voice that's able to make the wind lay down, I call him Lord. I call him Lord. The voice of the Lord can be very comforting. The voice of the Lord can be very alarming. God spoke to me when I was standing on my job early in 1981 in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Western Electric. A young husband, a young father, had two little children, just getting started in my married life. Standing there on my job one day, the Lord spoke to me, and it was plain to me what he was saying. God spoke to me and he let me know that he wanted me to preach his word. And I mean, that was an alarming voice to me. When that came and when I heard the voice of God, when it came and I knew what God was asking. Friends, listen, it wasn't a peaceful thing to me, honestly. It really shook me up. God spoke to me very loudly and very clearly. God may not always we would choose to hear, but he'll always tell us good things. He spoke to me. That's how I know. I mean, friends, listen, I don't have any other way to know. There's no other way that I have to know that I am supposed to preach the gospel except through that experience that I had with the Lord when he spoke to me that day and told me that that's what he had for me to do. And I want to tell you something, you here as members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, I want you to know something today. When I came today and every time that I come to stand before you, I hope and pray that you have not come to hear the voice of Brother Miller. I hope that you are anticipating today hearing the voice of the Lord God, because I believe that he will speak to his churches through the pastor. You read the first couple chapters of Revelation there, and you read about the Lord having those seven stars in his hands and how that he controls them. And I believe you'll find out that God speaks to the church through the messenger, through the pastor. I hope today. I'm afraid sometimes that we're all too guilty of just coming and desiring perhaps to hear the voice of a man. And we say, well, you know, that was all right. Let me tell you something. When God speaks, when God sends his word, every time. And friends, I'll tell you, we've become way too guilty of this. When God sends his word, he's not going to allow us to just take it or leave it. He expects us to take it. You do have the choice today. You can be like those that we read about in the 36th chapter of 2 Chronicles. When God told his people, he said, I rose up betimes and I sent my word unto you, but you mocked the messengers of God, and you despised my words, and you misused the prophets, until the wrath of God arose against his people, till there was no remedy. You can stand. I've witnessed this in my life. The preacher gets up to preach, and he can preach to the people about how that we need to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. You can preach to people about the things that we need to do, and it's obvious that many will take it and just throw it over their shoulders and get rid of it. But let me tell you something. When God speaks, when God sends his word, if we treat him and his word indifferently, God is going to hold us responsible and accountable for that very thing. Israel ended up in trouble because they would not listen to the voice of the Lord through the prophets. They ended up in captivity. They ended up in all sorts of trouble because they would not listen to the voice of the Master. I want to tell you about a man named Elijah. He heard the voice of God. He heard that Jezebel was seeking his life. And he went and he ran. Now, I've never understood that. He had gone down by and displayed such great faith when God, when there was famine in the land, and God told him to go tarry by the brook Cherith and wait there, and he would send the ravens to feed him. Elijah exercised great faith and he went. He stood before the prophets of Baal and he challenged them and defeated them. And then he turned around and he heard that a woman was after him and he ran. I don't know what happened to Elijah, but obviously his faith got weak. He ran and he hid in a cave and he began to have a pity party. Oh, Lord, I'm all alone. I'm all alone. There's nobody else but me. I'm the only one serving you. God let him know that he had reserved 7,000 that had not yet bowed the knee to Baal, had not bowed their knee to Baal. But in that cave, there was a great wind that came up. And it was so strong that it began to break the mountain and began to break the rocks in pieces. But the Bible says that God wasn't in the wind. And then there was a great earthquake that took place. And that it says that God wasn't in the earthquake. And then Elijah saw a fire. And it says that God was not in the fire. But after the fire, he heard a still, small voice. And that's how God spoke to him. Now, I've heard people say from that scripture that God, that the voice of God is a still, small voice. Well, sometimes, but not always. You see, I believe what Elijah saw in that was there are many ways that God can speak. Many ways. In that instance, God spoke to him in a still, small voice. At other times, God spoke out from heaven, and it was so loud. If you read the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, you'll find out one time that when Jesus prayed and he said, "Father, glorify thy name," there was a voice that spoke out from heaven. God spoke out from heaven and he said, "I have glorified it and I'll glorify it again." And the people that stood around there, that voice was so loud that some of them thought that it was thunder. And I can't help when it seems like every time I've read that, I've asked myself the question, have I ever heard the voice of God speaking out from heaven and I was just so spiritually deaf that I thought it was the thunder? I don't see anything in the scriptures teaching me that if God wanted to speak out vocally from heaven, that he couldn't still do it. I believe he could do it just as easy today as he ever did. Perhaps we, Perhaps we've heard the, perhaps there's been times when we've thought we heard the thunder, but maybe we just weren't spiritual enough to discern the voice of God. He spoke out at the baptism of his son. When Jesus came up out of the water, there was a voice from heaven, and it said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." At the Mount of Transfiguration, God spoke out from heaven, and he said, "This is my beloved son, hear ye him." Listen, there was a little boy one time named Samuel, and when he laid there in the tabernacle at night, trying to go to sleep, God spoke to him, obviously in a voice that sounded similar to that of a man. He said, "Samuel." Samuel got up, ran to old Eli the priest, said, "I heard you call me." Eli said, "No, I didn't call you." He went back and he laid down and he heard the voice, "Samuel." Went to Eli. Eli said, "I didn't call you." He perceived that the Lord was speaking to the boy. And he said, "Listen, Samuel." And I think we ought to all take this. I think we ought to all take this instruction. He said, "Listen, Samuel, you go back. And when that voice speaks again, you just say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" Speak to me, Lord. I'm waiting. I'm listening. Can you hear his voice? Can you hear his voice oftentimes? Boy, I have. When the wind rustles through the trees, driving down the road. Driving down the road. I just out of nowhere, God suddenly speaks to you. The Lord speaks to his people. Thank God he speaks to his people. I was driving one time. I left Illinois one time going to a revival. I had a revival to preach down in Middle Tennessee. And I left out of Illinois, and I was driving down a country road that I was so familiar with, I think I could have drove down that road blindfold. I mean, I had driven that so many times, I knew every turn that I had to make. I was driving down through there one day, and the voice of God began to speak to my heart, and God distracted me so much that the next thing I knew, I had to stop my vehicle because I was way out in the country and I didn't know where I was at. And I stopped my vehicle and I began to look around and I didn't know where I was at. And so I just turned around and drove back, and I finally found the place where I was supposed to turn. Listen, friends, God can speak to us and he can arrest our mind and arrest our heart and take your mind off of everything else that's going on. We ought to desire the voice of the Lord in our lives. And when God calls you to do something, and I'm going to leave you with this, when God calls you to do something, that's what he will have you to do. He won't let you take something else. I know a man, a good friend of mine, Brother Nathan York. I was ordained with Brother York, along with him and Brother Tim Binion. We were all ordained together. And the Lord called Brother York to preach. And he came to church after that happened, and he went to one of the deacons who was a song leader, and he said, "The Lord called me to sing." And thank God, Brother Dean was wise enough. He saw what he was trying to do. He said, no, Brother York, the Lord don't do that. He doesn't do that. But you see, he was trying to get out of preaching, and so he was just volunteering. He said, well, the Lord called me to sing. Let me tell you something, friends. When God calls you for something, that's what he expects. That's what he expects. When God speaks to you and has you to do something, that's what he expects for you to do. The voice of the Lord. It can be soothing. It can be so peaceful. At times it can be so still and so small and so peaceful and so calming. At times it's loud. At times it's alarming. The Lord has spoken to me many times and said, you know what? You ought to be doing better. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be thinking that way. You ought to be doing better than that. The Lord can correct us with his voice. He sure can. And the Bible says in the Revelation, there in the writing to the seven churches of Asia, and I'm going to close with this, and I'm going to say this to Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We need to have our ears, our spiritual ears, in tune with God. If you're here today and you're not saved, and we're going to have a song here in just a moment. If you're here today and you're not saved, God has spoken to you and made it known to you that you're lost. It is your responsibility from that point on to seek the Lord for salvation. You know what? Let me tell you something. And I think sometimes this is misunderstood. Once God has spoken, when God has spoken to you and revealed it to you that you're lost, he puts that responsibility on you. And you know what? He doesn't have to speak to you anymore. You are responsible to seek him for the salvation of your soul. Sometimes I'm afraid that people wait for a thunderbolt or something. Let me tell you something. If God has made it known to you that you're lost, I guarantee you he has spoken to you and he has made you responsible to seek him. Seek him until you know that you have been saved by his grace. God doesn't have to drag you down the aisle. He doesn't have to speak forcefully. If he has let you know that you're lost, you need to seek the Lord until you know you're saved. So while we stand and have a song, God bless you and help you if you're here today and you're lost.
Number 3.